Hi everyone, it's Leah and Molly again.
Hey.
And we're back with another episode. It's very different this time.
This the last episode for this year.
For this year, so take it in as I am.
With me, not you.
Yeah, fine. So this episode was inspired because I wanted to do an episode about love and music and how so many love songs are written and influence like the music industry. And then Leah was like, I have a lot to say about this. Like, there's so much to say about the way that an artist and music influence an audience. And so that's exactly what this episode is.
Yes.
What I wanted to say first was that this is like, Leah was like very passionate about this. And like, I feel like I'm letting you, like, this is all you. And by the way, when we were just speaking about this like literally 10 minutes ago before we were recording. And we were actually having the podcast episode ourselves. Like, we were just like talking as if we were being recorded.
I know, but now I'm nervous because like there's a computer there. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, no. But so this is going to be really good. And Leah has done a lot of research and like, I have a lot to say then. So we're just going to kind of bounce off of each other. And like, she did a lot of research about different studies that are done basically on art, like an artist's influence, and also just on music in general influencing a person and their mood and behavior.
Yeah, our generation and music. I think it's so weird, especially because now social media, like we have TikTok and everything, where people believe that their favorite artist is everything to them. They're mm-hmm. like ride or die fans, and I think a lot of it has a lot to do with like trends, you know. Yeah. Like, we spoke about this, like Lana Del Rey and Taylor Swift. Like, there was a huge period of time where I know there's some diehard Swifties that yeah. will come for my neck for saying this, yeah. but like there are periods of time where people did not care for Taylor Swift because she yeah. was whatever. But now, like, I think that she had some really good PR, and now she's a fierce feminist icon mm-hmm. who makes great music. But I don't feel that way about her music. Sorry, but Reputation era was the only era for me. Yeah. And like, I'm gonna say that, like, fine, Cardigan was a great song, whatever. But like, now she has this tour, and apparently like everyone loves Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But like, think about it. Like, how can everyone be a fan of her? Like, people don't know her songs.
Yeah.
Like, what are you really a fan of?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so interesting about it is like, it's a trend to love someone and to be their favorite fan, but like, do you really care about their music?
Yeah. It's so true. And especially with TikTok and everything, like, where everything blows up so easily. So yeah. there'll be a certain song that, like, someone uses and, like, everyone, it kind of blows up. And then everyone, like, says that they love that artist, but they only know that song in that one snippet that TikTok yes. shows you. And so it's so interesting. Like, I think that's the whole idea of, this is very different, but, like, when someone says, like, oh, you love them, like, name five songs, you know?
Like, I know. It's so tricky. It's like, oh, you listen to the Rolling Stones? Name five songs.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's like, all right, shut up, you
yeah.
know?
Shut up, I don't know, but I can see.
Shut up, I like this t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's so true. And, like the Lana Del Rey and Swiftie, like, fads.
Yes.
I think it's, like, it's also, like, people are obsessed with their music. I'm doing air quotes because, like, what does that even mean? But they're also right. obsessed with, like, becoming them.
They're obsessed with the idea of it.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I think people are more obsessed with being part of this niche group
yeah.
that no one else will understand. And yeah. I think that's where I'm going to call out some people.
I'm going to specifically point to some people.
No, I'm going to call out one group, which is like the opium group.
I've been waiting for you.
Oh my God.
We both have the same person in mind.
Okay. I don't know who is listening to your podcast, like what audience you have.
And not the opium group. I'm all right, you
perfect.
That.
Not that audience, but like, I think everyone understands what I'm talking about when I say like Rick Owens, Playboy Cardi, two words, like yeah. trigger. Like, yeah, do yeah. we have an image in our head?
Yeah.
Like, these people are crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is. Oh, also it's Destroy Lonely.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this one's a mess.
Yeah, no.
But like, I just think it's so interesting that people become like these insane fans
yeah.
of like these artists, but like, what do these artists really represent?
Yeah.
And what does it mean to be part of this like group or
yeah.
decide that like you can, people like, I don't know what the word is, but like, not gatekeep, but like, they believe that like no one else has the rights to listen to this music or
yeah.
believe that it's good or
yeah.
like it's meant for them. Like,
yeah.
people feel really protective
yeah.
over this music or their certain genre that they're obsessed with. Like,
yeah.
even, like, the indie kids. Like, we went to a concert. We saw some of them. Like, people were so crazy. I
yeah.
remember at the Cigarettes After Sex. Like, you know, everyone had the same vibe, the same look.
Yeah, exactly the same look.
And it's interesting because there was research that says that people are attracted to artists who are similar to them.
Yeah.
You know, similar personalities or vibes and yeah. probably emotional states, right? Yeah. So think about how many, like, depressed people
were at cigarettes after sex. Yeah, and they dress like it, too.
Yeah, and it's just funny because it's like, if they hadn't have listened to that music, would they be dressing like that? Would yeah. they behave like that?
Yeah.
And it's also another thing with how social media has changed the music industry.
Yeah.
Back then, it used to be that artists had to produce samples and songs, and they had to have a certain amount of fans and followings to be able to go to a music studio and produce songs and mm-hmm. a new album. Mm-hmm. And it really all depended on their fan base. And it still does. Music is very dependent on people listening to it. But, like, I think now with different platforms like iCloud and Spotify, artists are able to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot more creative freedom.
And I think they're also, it's not new that people are also attracted to the influence of artists. Like, back then in the 90s, people were obsessed with Aaliyah and how she dressed, you mm-hmm. know? And, like, I don't know, Backstreet Boys, you know? Yeah. Girls were obsessed with them. And people wanted to dress like Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears, right? Yeah. That didn't change. But now I think that since there's so many different groups of people that resonate with different vibes,
yeah,
like, you have so many different groups now, and then people become super protective of their little yeah. group, you know?
They're no, like, it's true,
you know?
It's very true. I don't know what comes first. I feel like this is a kind of like a chicken and the egg situation where right. people are surrendering their identity to the artist. So I wonder if it's like they're surrendering their identity and like trying to become them and like listen to everything and like become like the fan base. That's because they love the music, or
they want to be part of a group or something.
They want to be part of a group, or like, it's, I don't know what it is.
It's a really interesting phenomenon about our generation too, because there are so many different communities.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting because I think social media especially plays into our natural human emotions of needing to feel part of something, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think nowadays music has such a big part of that, too, where it's, like, people need to feel part of a group or a community.
Yeah.
Or have a sense of, like, feeling and, like, being wanted, you know? Yeah. Like, or wanting to be part of something. And I think yeah. that's what, like, that's why so many people are now, quote-unquote, diehard fans for other artists, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's the healthiest thing, you know, like yeah. have some originality.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder how many like self-proclaimed Swifties are actually Swifties. Like, how many people do you think going to the Eras Tour that are dropping thousands on tickets are actually fans? And what does that even mean to like be a real fan? Like, what's the difference between like a fake fan and a real fan?
Oh my God, no. But I hate when people come for each other's necks where they're like, you weren't listening to Taylor Swift when she was singing country back
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, calm down. Yeah. You can become a fan whenever.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
true.
Like, people are very like entitled about yeah. like these artists, and it's like, sit down, you know?
Yeah. I feel like that, the fact that I just said that about a fake fan and real fan like shows that I get protective about that kind of stuff too. Because it's like an elitist thing. Like, I listen to them and I think that I'm better than you because I listen to them, you know?
Right? It's so interesting. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I want to understand it.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird. And I know that, like, I get like that too. And I also, like, will judge people based off of their music a lot. Like,
oh my God. Yes. Yes. Oh my God. It's crazy.
Because I think it shows so much about a person. And I can't explain why, but it just does.
Yeah. So I had, like, an evolutionary phase with my music. Like, I used to... Okay, when I was younger, I used to strictly listen to Glee. Like, anything that
that's
Glee...
That's terrifying. Made, yeah.
I know, right? It's, like, horrifying to think yeah. about this. I literally have a Glee t-shirt in my closet. We're not going to talk about
that's
it.
It's burned in the back. It's,
no,
like, buried
it's
in the
like,
back.
It's stuck in there. But, yeah. like, honestly, me and my sister, we're going to go see Funny Girl because Rachel Berry was in
yeah,
it. Lea
so
Michele was there. Like, we were fully going to go see it. But, like, okay, I was diehard Glee. Watched every episode. We'll know every reference if you mention
yeah.
it. So it was Glee and then Michael Jackson because, like, my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I always had, like, a sense of... Oh, wait, no, actually, I have to go back. I always loved classical music.
Mm-hmm.
The only music I could listen to when I was younger was classical.
That's so interesting.
Because I would get headaches from like, hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just,
you like, were just, like, too mature for your age.
No,
or, like,
I was
this
so
is,
annoying.
This is...
I'm like, Mom, play the classical
yeah,
channel.
Yeah.
You know? So that was that. And then I picked up the violin. And then I listened to Glee music and Michael Jackson. And then I entered high school. My sister put me onto Tyler, the Creator. And wow.
Yeah.
Was I crazy about
yeah.
him? I just, like, I talk about this in the last episode. Like, I just loved his attitude towards
yeah.
life. And,
he's
like...
He's just a vibe.
Right? And I loved how some of his music, like, incorporated elements of, like orchestra and classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, And then some of them had, and then other artists like now MF Doom and whatnot, like King Ghidorah, like they have jazz in the background, and I just love jazz, yeah. Right? So now I stepped away from listening to like contemporary pop and hip hop,
yeah.
And like I like 90s music now, like 90s hip hop and rap, and yeah. I'd say a lot of classical and jazz because yeah. I stopped listening to one specific genre, which is sad.
Oh God,
like indie in your feelings,
yeah,
yeah.
And
we need to talk about
that. Yeah, we have a lot to say about that. That was like the basically like the mini podcast episode that we were doing before this was talking about sad music and how because music has such an influence on your mood and your just general well-being, sad music is so detrimental to you.
Yeah.
In that way. And that's the thing is, when is the right time to listen to sad music if there is a right time?
Okay. The first song that's coming to my mind is something that's like productive to like cry your heart out.
Yeah.
You know, think about, like, driver's license.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you were sad about a boy, you know?
And it relates.
And you were going on a drive with your friend, and you were both screaming, and one of you cried, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm saying this because it happened so many times with all of my friends. I think each and every one of my friends have done this with each other. Yeah. Where it's like, all right, girl, you got your heart broke. Like, let's go for a drive, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, one of them starts screaming. But, yeah. Like... Like, I think that's fine, you know? But if you're really sad, and, like, you sit there, and you just, like... Again, I'm going to say it again. You sink further into your depression by listening to, like, really sad, heartbreaking, gut-wrenching music.
Yeah.
It's not going to be healthy for you or productive, you know?
That's why Leah has been, like, swearing off of sad music. And, like going through a breakup or, like, going through a hard time, she's like, I don't care what you do. Do not listen to sad music.
That's the first thing I told you.
Yeah,
that's... Don't listen to Mac DeMarco.
That's literally the first thing you... Like, I'll send this whole thing about, like, oh, I'm feeling like whatever. And you're like... First thing, don't listen to sad music. You're like, I was like, I wasn't going to, but okay. Like, it was good to know. Like,
I'm so gung-ho about it now.
Yeah.
Because, like, I realized, like, I spent so much time being sad, but, like, over what? You know? Like, sometimes you can get really into your head and in your mind, but, like, I think music just traps you in it.
Yeah,
you know?
It really does.
The lyrics, you know, the beats, like, oof. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's so good.
Especially when you're sad enough to actually listen to the lyrics, because most of the time you're not actually.
Yeah.
That's when you know, like, maybe I shouldn't be... That's what I think, like, that's my line. Is, like, when I see myself, like, genuinely, like, trying to understand the lyrics, I'm like, this is not the time for this. Like, I can't be putting myself in this state.
Right. I think, like, music really does... It, like, it also controls your attitude towards things.
Yeah.
You know, like, think about it. When you're listening to Rihanna, don't get me started.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a whole new girl. Yeah, like, when I listen to Beyonce and Rihanna,
yeah,
I'm so sassy. Like, in that moment, like, I'm dancing, like, yeah, I'm popping. Yeah. I'm popping and locking. Yeah. Like, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
But, like, I also realize, like, my attitude, like, towards everything just completely shifts.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't give an F, like, I'm cool, like, whatever, yeah. You know? Like, it's that vibe. And then, or if I'm listening to, like, jazz music, I'm really calm, and, like, I'm cool, and I'm collected, yeah. And, like, I'm vibing out.
Yeah.
But when I listen to sad music, it's like, holy crap, like, everything is just so much more intense, you know?
Yeah.
So, I personally, like, I try to stay away from sad music, because if I don't have a reason to be sad, I don't want to give myself one.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm so susceptible to these, like, intense emotions that I can't, like, just give it to myself, you know?
Yeah.
I really have to fight for myself to stay happy all the time.
Yeah.
And not that I'm trying to be happy all the time. That's not possible.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't need to be sad either. I need to, like, it's okay and it's valid to be upset and have a lot of emotions, but I think you should also fight for the good ones to stay, you know?
Yeah. It's the difference between, like, feeling them and then, like, really, like, living with them.
Yeah, and I think that's also a big thing. On TikTok, there's a huge community of people who are just sad all the time, listening to sad music, and that's kind of their identity. Like, they're indie and depressed, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's really interesting, and I think it's also just obviously sad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people should live like that, you know? And I don't think it's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely not.
You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. This is something that I asked you before, but, like, I want to talk about it here. Because music has the effect to control your mood and behavior and whatever it is, the way that you feel in that moment, is it that you're surrendering yourself to the music and letting it happen, or it's, like, controlling you? Like, is it an active choice or not?
Ooh, active or passive?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it really depends. Huh. Like, if you're in a really relaxed state and you're listening to like calming music and you fall asleep, I think that's surrendering to it. You know, yeah. You're letting that music, like you're letting that music flow with you,
yeah,
and control you and like keep you in a calm like state. And mm-hmm. the same goes with any emotion.
Yeah.
You know, if you're working out and you're pumping iron, I guess, yeah. and you're listening to some like heavy metal, you know, you're allowing that music to keep pushing you, you know? Yeah. And then the same thing with sadness, you know, you're allowing that music to keep you down.
Yeah.
So I think you have to always be aware of what music you choose to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, like, and just be aware that there's always a chance that you might be, and I think this also depends on the personality type.
Yeah.
Obviously. But like, I think you should always be aware of like, if I listen to this music, there's a possibility like I'm not going to be 100% me when yeah. I'm listening to it. These aren't going to be like my choices because these aren't my words. These aren't yeah. my thoughts either.
Yeah.
Like, I notice when I listen to like a super angry song, like, and I'm driving, I drive faster, you know, like I'm not like, I get more antsy and frantic, you know, yeah. it's interesting, but mm-hmm. I think we should all just be a lot more selective about what we choose to indulge in.
Yeah.
You know,
I also agree that it's a more passive thing. Cause I'm trying to think like, there's never a time where I'm thinking like, I want to be happy. So, I mean, sometimes like, I'll put on the Minions soundtrack just because, like, I want to be in a good mood.
Yeah. No, it's it for me.
Something about the Minions soundtrack just does it for me every time.
And happy?
Yeah, no, it's so good. They really, like, put everything into it. But I never really actively think, like, I want to feel like this right now. I want to feel, like, a, like calm, cool, and collected, so I'm going to listen to jazz, you know? I think it just, like, kind of happened, which is, like, it's more, like, for me, it feels more passive. Like, it just happens as it happens, which I guess is like a little scary mm-hmm. in a way, because you don't even know how it's affecting you until it does,
right?
And like until you're consciously thinking about it, because music is such a, at least for me and you, and I know for many others, it's such a big part of your life and your just in general, like your everyday routine.
Yeah,
like the amount of, I'm like very curious to see how many hours I have this year of music. If I'm just like sitting around and doing nothing, like there's music on, like there's always something playing. And sometimes I know that can be bad, but, like, that's just the way that I work.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I just think it's, like, it gets bad when it's, like, on Shabbat and, like, I can't listen to music.
Right.
That I'm, like, I feel like something's missing, or, like, going on a walk. And, like, I think that I'm alone with my thoughts a lot, but alone with my thoughts with music, you know? It's very different than being
it's
alone with
your thoughts.
It's a
distraction still.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's so interesting. I changed my mindset towards music this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I told myself, like, I need to choose whatever I'm consuming.
Yeah.
And that goes with everything. Like, the type of TV that I watch now.
Yeah.
And it was also interesting because my seminary, they're not strict on many rules. Like, yeah. I chose a very chill one to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that they said that they're very strict about is music.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can listen to whatever music you want when your headphones are on. But when you're around girls, like, choose something either Jewish or just instrumental to play,
yeah.
you know, like,
yeah.
because people are working on themselves and they shouldn't be affected by what you are consuming, you
yeah.
know? And I think it's so interesting because, like, even the Torah says, like, be aware of whatever is going around you,
yeah.
you know?
I think that's such an interesting rule, and I think it just shows how important music is in our lives.
Yeah.
And what a huge role it plays.
100%. I totally understand. Like, sometimes I'm driving and I don't want to listen to music because I know, like, how it affects me.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want to be completely alone with my thoughts and just sitting there because it's going to make the drive go by longer. So I'll
yeah.
play a podcast instead.
Yeah.
That I feel like I can learn something from or I can yeah. feel productive listening to. That's just how I've been trying to do things lately.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to take a step back from being so dependent on music.
Yeah.
But I do love it.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big part of so many people.
Yeah. Which is why we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
Because, like, music is not, it's something, like I was saying before, like, it's something that's part of your everyday life that you don't, it's not something you're consciously thinking about.
Right.
And so that's why it has such a big effect on you without you realizing it, because you're not consciously thinking about it.
Yeah. Oh, also, I wanted to bring up They Clone Tyrone.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone who's listening to this has watched it. If you did, kudos to you, because I told Molly to, and she hasn't. But one scene that was really interesting was that they were doing experiments. Spoiler, if anyone hasn't watched it, just don't listen for a second.
Yeah.
They were doing experiments on the people, and they were seeing how music controls people, right? So they were playing heavy rap music, you know, gang music, and everyone was super violent, and
yeah.
then 2 seconds later they turn it off and they play R&B music and like love music, and people were hugging.
Yeah.
And I just think that's even funny because like it's very like there's subliminal messaging in all of our music, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so again, I think that's where our we should be aware of what we choose to listen to, because no matter what, it will still affect us in some way.
Yeah. I want to talk about also, like, we're talking a lot about music and the effects that it has on a person.
Yeah.
But also, I want to talk more about, like, an artist on the audience. And, like, yeah, the more niche stuff that we were talking about before. And, like, we brought up the Taylor Swift and Lana Del Rey kind of vibe. But, like, I remember when I asked everyone on my status, like, who do you prefer? Just, like to cause a little bit of a, like, a riot. Like, I just wanted to see what
you
were
saying. I wanted drama.
Yeah, I just wanted drama. And I was bored. So I was like, okay, what does everyone prefer? Do you prefer Taylor Swift or Lana Del Rey? And, like, people were passionate about it because they, like, I think that everyone was who responded was not, no one said, like, their music is better than hers. Like, no one said that Taylor's music is better than Lana's. Like, no one was talking about that. They were talking more about what they represent as a person and the effects that, and you especially brought up the effects that they have on their audience. And, like, girls, little girls who listen to Lana Del Rey and the effect that it has on them versus Taylor Swift and the music. Right.
Yeah, I was the only person that said neither.
I think you were the only person because everyone said, like, ooh, tough, but, like, Taylor, because, like, feminist icon kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah, but, like, when the hell did she become a feminist icon? Like, and also, I'm so confused by our generation and their, like, their...
Yeah, their
ideas of everything. It's so confusing to me because, like, on one hand, like, you have people screaming, like, if you're a feminist icon, like, you don't have to, like... You should wear whatever you want. And then there's other people saying, like, no, cover yourself. If you're a feminist icon, you can, like, just be for yourself, like, whatever. Like, it's so confusing. Like, there's so many differing opinions and just all thrown at you, which is why, like, I just don't... I like to, like, run away from people's opinions. Like,
yeah.
I can't listen to it because I'm too confused. I'm like, I don't want to know. You know? But, like, what makes Taylor Swift a feminist icon? Because she was controlled by her producers and now she decided to come out with her own music. What, like, no one knows what her real motive was behind it. She was probably tired of working for someone else and wanted to make her own money.
Yeah.
And people saw that as a thing where, like, oh, she's an icon now for doing that. Like, maybe it was a smart business strategy where people told her to do that. Like, it's just interesting.
I think it's also a lot of people, this is, like, off topic of, like, that a bit, but people love her music because it's so... Like, it's so relatable to a lot of people because a lot of it is about love and heartbreak and, like, certain situations. And, like, girls, like, a lot of the girls connect to it. And, like, when they're sad, they're like, oh, I'm going to listen to this song because it applies to my situation because she's had so much experience with that. And so that's why they're so crazy about her also.
Right. Like, I totally forgot about that.
Like, she's a feminist icon, but also, like, her music is
all about
relatable.
Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. No, I totally forgot. That's, like, such a good point to bring up. Like, okay, what I was saying about Lana Del Rey and Taylor Swift... Taylor Swift was that Lana Del Rey, I think that everyone who listens to her... No offense, Molly, I know you listen to her. Like, they had daddy issues in some way.
No facts.
Or, like, or they just have, like, toxic relationships and, like, this music just, like... You wrote a point on the notes that said, like... Artists are very transparent about, like, toxic relationships.
Yeah.
And what's the word? Like, allowing it to be okay?
I wrote... you wrote this.
Oh.
You said this.
Oh, shit, I'm smart. Yeah.
That music has become more transparent about vulnerable feelings and toxic situations, but, like, they set an unhealthy expectation for love. Oh, maybe this is my part.
Yeah, I think that was you. You smart.
Yeah, no.
Smart girl.
So it's, like, unhealthy expectations because a lot of Lana's music is, like, being groomed by older men.
Yeah, no, she's like... He hit me and it felt like a kiss. I'm just thinking about that. That one lyric. Or like...
I didn't even think about that.
No, think about Stargirl. What's that song with? And I Shouldn't Cry, But I Love It.
Yeah.
Starboy. What? Yeah. Lana, like, what are you saying? Like, does she know who listens to her? Like, 14-year-old girls. Like, her audience are very young, impressionable girls.
Yeah.
And she's, like, giving all... I don't think she's giving. It's like, she's not...
Lana's, like, being. She's just doing her own thing.
No, like, she's not responsible for giving her audience, like, a Lolita complex.
Yeah.
But I think that... artists should be very aware of the influence that they have over their audience because it is a huge, like, influence. Like, I think artists need to be a lot more conscious of what music they're producing and putting out there.
Yeah.
My dad used to say to me when I was younger that, this is so dark, he's one of those people that, like, have, like, these crazy beliefs, and I'm sorry I'm going to share it because it's not going to get out of your mind. Like, but he used to say to me, like, oh my God.
Yeah, how deep rooted it emotionally scar me.
No, like, I remember, like, he's very, like, Kabbalistic in some ways, you know? So, like, and we're also Sephardi. So, like, imagine that, like, times a million, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about, like, my parents totally believe in astrology. Like, some people will be like, nah, but, like, we're totally about it, but we're just like, but it all connects back to Hashem. But like, we believe in it, you know? Like, just think about it. Keep that in mind. Like, he used to tell me, like, we, like, everything has a meaning behind it. Like, we don't say bad things about food because food has feelings. God created it. Like, we're very, like, crazy. But, like, one thing he said to me is, like, oh, when you're lighting, like, the Havdalah, like, you're reigniting the fires of hell because they come, because they're, that's your face. Like, we're reigniting the fires of hell because during Shabbat they're gone and there's no anger in the world. You know, and I'm just like, oh, you know, like, things like that. And I told that to my Toshba teacher in high school, and she was like, no,
that was, that's way too out of their line.
She was like, I'm sorry, no. And I was just like, yeah, okay, believe what you want, but I know what, I know it's true. I know it got things.
Right.
You know, and I used to say things like, oh no, like, we don't do this because there's demons trapped in them. And I'm like, always throw salt behind your shoulder because there's a demon behind you. That's why you're being controlled. Like, there's Satan. Like, I'm literally like,
that's so funny.
No, but my dad used to say to me, this is the thing, like, everything that an artist, like, releases into this world, when they go to heaven, you know, they are responsible. Dear and they're
when I get to heaven,
oh my, please let me no, when an artist goes to heaven, hopefully, like, they are responsible and judged for everything that they put out and how it affected someone else.
That's so interesting.
And how it affected someone else. So imagine, like, all these rappers singing about gang violence and then people listening to it and doing gang violence, right? Like they are now, like, now in the next world, they're responsible for that. And they're not completely responsible for that action, but they had something to do with that action.
That's so interesting. Wait, there's two things that I want to say to that.
So it's like the world has a domino effect.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I have two things that I want to say to that. One is that, do you think that artists should, like, feel that obligation to cater to their audience? Because is that, like, is that their work then?
Right.
Where's the line to draw between, like, you're doing it for yourself or you're doing it for your audience and your image?
Well, if you're doing it for yourself, then the whole world doesn't need to see it.
Yeah.
There are things, there's art and things that you can enjoy without having to share it with people.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't there a quote that said, like, art can be as crazy as it wants, but it's art as long as it's accepted by people?
That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So, the thing is, like, it doesn't need to be accepted by people. Like, if, I think about certain songs where I'm like, the artist really had no business putting it out there.
Yeah. You know? Like, it's so personal and, like, touchy.
And I guess, but that's the way where some, where they get, they gain more
traction.
Yeah. Because people see that vulnerability and they love it. You know? And they really connect to that artist for that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just like our world today has to do a lot more censoring, you know? Yeah. Something that I didn't live back in a backwards time, you know, like, I didn't live back then. I don't know what the world was like when things were more censored. There was definitely different issues.
Yeah.
But I do think that there was a different sense of life when things were censored. Like, think about TV shows now. Yeah. Like, why do we need to see everything? You know, you don't need to see characters having sex and whatnot. Like, you can build up to it, but, like, then just showing it just, like, it ruins everything in a sense, you know? And it's like, I think we should just go back to censoring certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a personal belief.
Yeah.
And definitely a lot of people probably won't like it, but...
No, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think that there is a way to do it if you're, like, if you have such a huge audience and a fan base, there's a way to write these songs that is more, like, if you want to portray certain feelings and certain ideas and values and whatever it is, without being, like, in your face about it.
One song I can think of that was really good was that Suicide song by Logic, the 1-800 song.
Yeah.
I thought that was really great because, like he starts off by saying, like, I don't want to be alive, but then at the end is like, I finally want to be alive. Like, I care about you. People care about you. Like, I think that song was, like, it, and it's so, like, you get goosebumps when you listen to that song.
Yeah.
Like, and then it was also, like, a good song because he put the suicide hotline number, like, as the title, and, like, it's in the song, and, like, he brings awareness that people feel these emotions, but, and it's okay, and it's okay, but there's something that you can do about it, and it's not the solution, right?
Yeah.
Whereas other songs, I feel like they kind of just, like, there is no message behind it, and I don't think every single thing in this world needs to have a message behind it, you know? Like, there's art in, that was created for what reason? We don't know. Was there a message behind it? No.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's some beauty to things where we don't understand, like, what the point was, but I think that there should be more points made, you know? Like, I think nowadays, like, there's a lot of songs being made mindlessly.
Yeah.
And, like, just beats being thrown in. Like, I can think of Yeat, where, like, all of his songs, like, what's the, like, what was the purpose of this song?
Yeah.
Like, it was just gloating, you know?
It's just bad.
Yeah, no, like, and he attracts such a huge audience.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of his audience are mindless people
Who
are, like, boastful, you know? Like, I don't know. I just think that there can be things without meaning put into it, but I think things should have more meaning. Yeah. You know, like there needs to be definitely a lot more meaning.
Yeah.
You know?
Think about this. Like when there's a young kid and they hear a song on the radio and it's catchy and they like it, they like pick up all the words on it and they don't know what they're saying. Like I think about this yes. all the time. It's like I'll see my
I can't feel my face when I'm with you. I was singing that at 12 years old.
Yeah.
Like, did I know that song was about cocaine? No. Yeah. Or Blurred Lines?
Yeah, like you don't even know what it's about and you're singing it like mindlessly.
Yeah.
Do you think that like you take it in, or like we're so used to doing that like we're not even like thinking about the lyrics?
We're desensitized.
We're so desensitized. Like I especially know that this is such a problem with the N-word where like people yeah. are like, it's in a song, so like you just sing it and like you become so desensitized it because like it's there, but like that's not how it should be. Like
100%. Also like songs like love songs.
Yeah.
Like nowadays love songs are so different.
Yeah.
Like they have a lot like
yeah.
Like we were talking about this. Like love songs back then, they used to be like, oh, like I love you, I wanna marry you, like yeah. you're beautiful, you make my world like happier. And nowadays yeah. love songs like I was lonely as hell before I found you, and now I'm happy and yeah. I love having sex with you and yeah. like you have big boobs. Like yeah. like songs are so weird, you yeah. know? Or it's just like even rap songs, like when they're trying to like appreciate women,
yeah,
they're doing it in the most degrading way yeah, possible.
Yeah, it's like big booty bitch, like
I don't know. She mine and I love her.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah, no, it's so crazy. It's just this generation, man. Like, what are we gonna do about it?
Oh my god, no, we sound like 50-year-olds when we're talking. It's like, because kids.
Yeah, it's because you listen to classical music as a child, so like from a young age, you're like,
I know, oh. I'm just like mature,
but no, it's so. Because what is the solution? Like, I'm happy that I don't have to deal with this because I'm not an artist in that way. So I'm not influencing people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me use this podcast as an example. Like, when we were talking about once when I remember saying to you, like, I feel like, I think we literally spoke about it on last podcast. Like, it wasn't even just in our conversation. But I was speaking about, like, how sometimes, like, it's just weird because I feel like everyone has a podcast, but you're like, but everyone's just so different. Like, it's a different feeling that you get listening to this versus like Call Her Daddy, because it's a very different message.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, when is it like, at one point am I like trying to be a certain way for image and for affecting other people, you know?
That you have to ask yourself. I can't answer that for you.
No, I know. It's just like a theoretical thought, because like, it's just, that's just like a tough thing when sharing anything nowadays, right. Because everything, people are going to see anything you make now. I don't think there's any privacy in that way. And if there is and you find it, kudos to you. Good for you. But, like, there is no privacy. And, like, people make to share.
Right.
When's the last time you made something to like, have for yourself? Like, that no one in the world knows about?
When I draw.
Yeah.
That I do for myself.
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, things, like, little activities that you do for yourself that are relaxing, like, your hobby, like, those are things you do for yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I feel like people can't, at least with music, it's because it's so much more easy to share with people. Like, I wonder if people like genuinely make music for themselves.
I think, yeah, I can think of a few artists that like their songs are like totally weird and like interesting, but I love their beats and like that. I think is like, I can think of one song by Mitt Romney, like the most random artist.
I love Mitt Romney.
Yeah, no, he has this one song that was just so weird and cool, but I don't think it was meant for people.
Uh-huh.
I think it was meant for himself, and he just put it out there.
Yeah.
It was like, and it's a really cute song. And like, I just like that they're like, he has a lot going on, like with instrumentals and voices. I think yeah. he really played, this you can tell like was very creative. He played around with the soundtrack and like added some words about like him going to college and missing a girl. But like that one felt very, like when I listened to it, like I love it. It feels so yeah. personal.
Yeah.
Like that one, that's a song where I think, ooh, I don't know if I'm covering the mic. Where I think, like, that one he made for himself.
Yeah.
I'll share it with you.
You could, yeah, no, I want to hear it. Like, you can feel when an artist makes it for themselves.
Yeah. But I think that no matter what, when you share something online, you have a certain responsibility now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just for you anymore. You have to be more careful about, like, what am I putting out there and why am I doing this, you know? Yeah. And I think that's with everything. Social media, like, if you're posting a picture of yourself, like, why am I sharing this picture of myself, you know? Yeah. Like, who do I want to see it and why do I want them to see it?
Yeah.
And, like, that's just why I don't share things at all. Because, like, I can be a mess, you know? Like, yeah.
You don't need to.
Like, I just don't... I feel like anyone that I want people things to know about, like I can send them pictures myself, you know. Yeah. Like I want you to know about this experience I had because I love sharing things with you, I'll share it with you. But like I think that it's more personal in that way, and like yeah. I guess like people also have like more personal Instagram accounts with like 40 people, you know. Yeah. Like I don't have that many friends. Yeah. But you know, like things like that, like I don't know, that's just like a personal way of thinking about it. But no. Like artists, like yeah. It's definitely different, and that's their job, and they have to produce music, and sometimes they have to produce music not for themselves but because their audience will like it. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I think it's very different.
That's also like a lot with like PR and everything, where you're, this is not just with music, like I wonder how far it goes as to like PR controlling like what music you produce, but they control like who you date and like the way that you respond to certain things. I really like, now that I'm thinking about it, like I wonder how much music is PR influenced.
Oh my god, probably. I can think of like, oh my god, what was that one, sorry, bring Taylor Swift into this. No. What was that one Taylor Swift album, Lover, was that the name
about
of the album?
Joe?
I don't know who her lovers are, but I know that every time she has one she comes out with a new album. No, but she had one like where it's all about like rainbows and happiness.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Like
Lover.
Yeah, Lover, that album. Like that one felt completely like I'm like, girl, this album is ass.
You didn't like it? I mean, I don't even know if I like it. Cause
you know
I
that
even...
one song, You Need to Calm Down?
Oh, yeah, that's all that.
Like, I'm like, who yeah, wrote yeah. this song for you? Like, I'm sorry, that was not good. Like, yeah. No, that whole album, I was just like, mid. Very, no, not even mid, like, below mid. Yeah. Like, sucked. Mid. Like, I'm like, girl, what was you doing?
Yeah.
Like, that did not feel authentic at all. Yeah. I'm like, because also, this is a very thing, there's a very big thing about Taylor Swift, is that she has eras, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, and I think that it's such a funny thing because people, human beings, like, obviously also have eras. Like, nowadays with, like, social media and stuff like that, people have their own eras where yeah. it's, like, I was in my indie era. Yeah. I was in my goth era. Yeah. Where it's, like, things like that.
Yeah, you know? I was in my toast for breakfast era. Like,
you know, like, it's just, like, I was in my waking up at 5 a.m. era. Like, yeah. What language are we speaking, first of all?
Yeah.
But, like, also, it's just, like, who influences these eras?
Yeah.
It's obviously us looking at other people and being like, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Wow.
So I think, like, for her, it was just like, oh, I want to attract this audience, or, oh, I want to put this out there, and, like, I need to get this money, you know?
Yeah.
So I need to create this album, you know? And that's her eras.
Yeah.
She had her country era, her Lover era, her yeah. Reputation era, where she was a baddie. Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't think it's that normal for someone to go through that many phases.
Yeah, in such
and
an
especially,
extreme,
like, with normal people, you know, like, teenagers, like, why do you, like, people just keep on playing around with different identities and ideas yeah. because no one really knows who they are, and no yeah. one really takes the time to figure it out by themselves.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
No, I totally get what you mean.
And I think that's a big problem because...
With our generation.
These kids, man.
Yeah.
No, like, we're giving everyone, like, a crutch to not know who they are and not try to spend time to figure that yeah. out. And just saying, like, well, you can just opt in for this identity for this month
yeah.
and be this person and identify with this and agree with this
yeah.
and bam, you have a community and you feel part of something, but you're yeah. still not whole, you yeah. know?
It's so interesting. This is what I've been thinking about a lot lately, is that people just have too many options. Like, it's nice that there's so many options for people and like everyone to find their place and to feel accepted somewhere and to have an identity, but like I think there's way too much.
Yeah, no one knows who they are.
No one knows who they are. I think there's way too much. I think there's a lot with fashion, like, especially with fast fashion. Like, I've been, like, it makes me sick to think about how much people are, like, consuming fast fashion. And then, like, kind of just, like, it's with, like, an era thing. Like, oh, I'm in the mood for this one day. So, like, I'm going to get this. And then, like, I'm going to wear it once and then never wear it again. It's the same idea of, like, you don't have any timeless pieces. Like, you don't have any pieces that you're like, I can go back to these Levi shorts that I'm wearing right now. And, like, they, like, I can depend on them, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with identity. Like, when there's so many options out there, like, you just want everything that you don't have, like, one thing to go back to.
Right. What's that, like, decision fatigue? That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like, especially because, like, we're scrolling on our phones every day. Like, when you're, oh, my God, I had this recently. And I was talking about it with Rafi. If he listens to this episode, don't be an asshole, okay? Don't be rude.
Well, see, okay, wait. Tell him something to text you so that you know that he listened up until this point.
Oh, wait, okay. Like, if you've listened this long, what should we say? Text me the word pickles.
Okay, there yeah. we go. We'll see.
And don't be rude or I will fight you. What was I just talking about?
Decision fatigue.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Because I remember me and Rafi were talking about this, and I said to him, I'm like, I need to get these shoes for seminary. And I was, oh my God, do you know how many websites I was on, like, opened on my computer? I was like, at some point I was on GOAT. I'm like, why am I buying Air Jordans? Like, yeah. I don't like them, you know? Yeah. I was on GOAT. I was on Bloomingdale's. I was on every single website you can think of that, like, would sell shoes. And I was like, I want these Vivienne Westwood sneakers because they're going to make me look so cool and so niche and no one else is going to have them. And then I was looking at, like, I'm like, no, or should I get Air Force Ones? I'm like, no, that's too basic. Like, literally exhausted myself every single night for 2 weeks thinking about what pair of shoes I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
And then finally I went to the mall and I found these, like, Pumas.
Nice.
And I was just like, you know what? They're cheaper than other shoes and they're cool and I like them.
Yeah.
I'm just going to buy these. And I realized, and I was telling Rafi about this, I'm like, I think the shoes have to do a lot more than just, like, shoes themselves. Like, I think it's me being nervous for, like, this new transition in life.
Yeah.
And I'm using, like, these shoes as a,
You know? That totally makes sense. Especially because we were saying this, like, connecting back to, like, the way that you judge someone based off of, like, such a small thing. Like, you judge someone based off their playlist. Like, I do that all the time.
Where you, like, don't even get me started.
Yeah, like, you think you know someone, like, based off the shoes they wear. You think you know someone based off of the music they listen to, you know?
Yeah. No, but I think that's, it's also like that today because it's, like, this outfit and this look, like, ties directly to a personality type.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where it's, like, I don't know, if someone is, like, you know, the clean girl aesthetic, like, you know, like, you can already tell, like, what their attitude is, but that's not the way it works. People can be nice people, there can be mean people, but, like, and it doesn't matter what aesthetic they decide to subscribe to that week.
Yeah, like, that's such, it's such a dangerous game nowadays.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm seeing it a lot, like, not that I've had so much experience meeting a lot of people at college, because it's, like, not many people were there this summer, but, like, you see it in the way that I'm approaching certain people. I'm like, I'm gonna, like, talk to this girl because she's wearing this and, like, I feel like I would like her. Versus, like, I actually became friends with, like, someone that I never thought I would because, like, they weren't wearing what I thought they would or, like, listening to the music I thought they would just because, like, I thought that they would be a certain way.
Right.
Because you have all these judgments. Because of the fact that everyone, like, you listen to this music, you're this way and you, like, act like this and, you know?
Yeah. That's just crazy. This was, like, a lot to think about.
Yeah.
I'm going to send this to every celebrity I know and tell them you are now responsible for everything that you produce. Thank you.
Yeah. It's so scary. Every time we have these episodes, like, we come in with, like, an idea and then we just leave with an existential crisis.
Literally. We both delete our Spotify accounts after this. We go off the grid completely. Just wear, like, shoe sacks. Like, I don't know, like, whatever.
No. That's so scary.
Why do we do this to each other?
And no, every time I leave one of these conversations, I feel like I'm like, I have too much to think about.
No, oh my God.
It's good. It's good. I like that feeling.
I don't. I'm like, I was happier before.
Okay, wait. This is one last thing that I want to speak about is Lana Del Rey. She is someone who I think, like, is pretty, like, down to earth from what I think, like, from what the way that, like, she's been, like, she just doesn't give a fuck, like, you know, like, she's kind of like Tyler the Creator in that way, but in a different way. Like, Tyler, I think, is like, he doesn't give a fuck with his music and with his being, like, it matches, it makes sense, like, he does what he wants when he wants. Lana, I think, is more, she, her person, like, her persona and the way that she presents herself is that, like, I don't give a fuck about you, but her music is so different than that and detached.
Really?
I think so. Like we were saying, like all the her music about, like intense emotions, like being groomed and all this, like, crazy, like, intense stuff. But, like, when you, like, see her, like, on stage, she's, like hitting a vape and, like, she just doesn't care, you know? And, like, she just, like, everyone who meets her says she's really sweet. Should we judge an artist based off of their identity and, like, look at their music through that lens or look at them through their lens of their music? Because it's a form of self-expression.
My mind just exploded. Wow. No, that was a good question. I don't know. Is it a form of self-expression? Wow.
Because music is a form of self-expression.
Yes, it is.
And it's an extension of yourself.
Molly, that's a really good question. I'm beat. I don't know. Like, no, but then, like, I think the thing about these questions is that, like, when you ask these hypothetical questions, it's like, but then it's like it has to apply to everything, though.
Yeah.
Because then it has to apply, like, do you view someone, like, as an extent, I don't even know how you worded that was beautiful. Like, would you judge someone based off, like, how they dress and, like their appearance, like, or is that, like, I don't even know how you worded that. That was in English, but.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Can you rephrase that one more time so I can hear you say that? That was just so smart.
Okay, let me try again. Should we judge an artist based off of their persona and their identity and look at their music through the lens of themselves and their person, or should we look at the artist through their music because it's a form of self-expression?
What do you think?
I don't know. That's why I'm like,
no, because I'm thinking about like actual art, like that, like your grandfather was an artist. Like,
yeah,
you don't judge him judge him through that lens of his artwork. You know?
I think that.
But then think about like Van Gogh. Like, people judge him through his artwork
because that's all we know.
Yeah.
I think it's very different when you know the person, or when you think you do. And I think it always, honestly, I think it always comes back to like, it's both. Like, you can't, like, I am my art and my art is me, you know? Like, you can't detach the art from the artist and like look at it through one way or the other. I think sometimes like it's different because Lana, I think that I would look at her art through her because she's like, actually, no, because her art is so different than who I think she is.
That's so interesting. Oh my God, that's a really good question, girl.
Thanks. And on that note, no.
On that note, let's leave everyone with
a horrible existential crisis.
Okay, we were just going back and talking about something, but I told Molly how I love the point that she passed. Wait, what? I love. that was in English. I love how Molly pointed out that we're all very. What's the word? I'm forgetting words now. Thank you very much. How like when we listen, how when we sing songs, we're not conscious of what we're actually saying.
Yeah.
Like how when people say the N-word in songs, like,
yeah.
And then they say it, like, we're so desensitized to these things that we don't realize like that any of these words have actual meaning to it, right? Yeah. And so then I was saying, like, Kendrick Lamar has a song called Auntie Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and I think that this is him contradicting himself, right? Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because at the end of the song, he talks about, this whole song he's talking about how his aunt is gay and she was transgender and then she became a man and then people were making fun of him for it, whatever his experience with that. And then at the end, he has like one point that I liked. His aunt said to him, you're gonna have to edit this because like I'm not clear on this point. His aunt said to him that, how can you call a white girl up on stage and yell at her for saying the N-word when all you would call like gay people or the F words, you know? He also does have like a lot of music that he produces that I feel like isn't super helpful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, I don't know, the way that he expresses himself through music is very interesting because
mm-hmm.
he expresses a lot of anger and like how there's a lot of injustices in the world and like how he felt like with his experiences growing up like black as a black person in America. But then at the same time, I think that he kind of just like appropriates like bad ideas of people too. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. That's like the double-edged sword. Like,
right?
There's like, no winning.
His music is like productive in a sense where he does talk about issues about like people killing, like people in these communities like killing each other and like how people need to be with each other, you know? Yeah. But then he also like, but then the music that, I don't know, like how do we say this? Like, he's, like, productive in some sense, but then at the same time, he, like, totally negates everything that he just did by producing a song that is, like, completely violent and, like, bad ideas about black people in general, you know?
Yeah.
And that, like, I don't think resonates very well with me, you know?
Yeah, it's so interesting.
But then, like, think about, like, Bob Marley, like, why people loved him so much, you know? Like, he, like, promoted ideas of peace and love and happiness, and, like, he was a really good artist.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like his music, but, like, I really respect him for what he stood for.
Yeah. I think the moral of the story is that everyone needs to calm down a bit. Like, it's just everything needs to be simplified.
Yeah.
I think so. Right. Like, to me, Bob Marley's music feels a lot more, like, simple.
You like his music, right?
I don't even know if I like his music. It's just, like, I appreciate him. Right. Like, it's not like he's in my playlist, but, like...
none of my playlists.
Not exactly, but, like, I appreciate his messages and the fact that like when you listen to his songs it just feels like simple, you know?
Yeah,
like you don't want to, like, all the songs that are out nowadays are so intense and like about such an emotional topics and very deep and like about trauma and about abuse and about injustice. Like, it's just everything is so complex, and while that's good and it's important to be speaking about these issues and like especially to a wide audience, like I think we just all need to calm down a bit.
Yeah,
I don't know, that's personally what I think.
Like, do you think there's, like, savior identities within, like, artists or...
Yeah. And I guess it's, like, their way of making change. And obviously these people are making a lot of change because they have such a massive audience who are listening to it and, I don't know, living based off of it.
Yeah, being affected by their music.
But like, to what degree? I don't know. Maybe it's just like I've been lately feeling a lot like everything is so complicated and it doesn't need to be this complicated. And
Yeah.
everyone just like I was explaining to this in the audio and I don't even know if it worked because like my I was wearing my headphones, but like about how
Oh no, I couldn't listen to it.
yeah, I was basically saying this is like completely unrelated to music, but it's just like something I've been thinking about lately is that everything nowadays is so complicated, and especially with like consumer culture, how everything, like all the products you get, like you have this product for this, and you have this for this, and this for this, because you think that it's good for you. And like, I see this a lot with skincare. Like, you think that skincare, like this thing will work for this, and this you then you have a 20-step routine, and like you buy all these expensive products. But like, in reality, like I think that it all is so much more simple than we make it out to be. And like, all you really need is maybe like wash your face. And like, I know this is very different for different people. Also, like, thank God I have the genetics that like allow me to say this without like having any experience. But like, I just like. You sweat, and that's natural. I think it's more like natural has been so huge, and like anything that you need or want, you can get from the earth and from natural sources. And it doesn't need
Except for deodorant, if there are any.
If you actually want deodorant, yeah, no, that's true. Deodorant is a very different situation.
Please don't put mud on your armpits.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But like, there's all these things that it's like, oh, like a lemon peel. When you, it's good for, I forgot what it's good for, but like I remember seeing someone saying, like, you use the lemon peel for this and you use the watermelon rind for this because it all has a purpose that we give to something else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like,
But then
everything
it wouldn't be
just,
profitable. And
exactly.
none of these industries would
That's
exist.
the thing, is like, that's why I'm like, oh, like, I hate growing up now, which I don't. Like, I'm happy to have so many resources at my fingertips, and like, it's great that there's so much to pick from, but like, sometimes I wish it was more simple. Like, sometimes I wish there wasn't so much to pick from.
Okay, yeah. I totally agree with that. Also in the sense where like today it's like the culture, especially surrounding like jobs in the future, like, oh my
Yeah.
God, I give myself a headache every day thinking about like what do I want to be when I'm older? Because think about it. Now everyone's saying like you can't work for someone else. Like you have to create your own business. Like if you like this thing, make it your own business and things like that. It's
Yeah.
like why does it have to be that way? You know,
Yeah.
like it's just interesting because there's
Yeah.
so many, again, there's so many options to choose from where it's
Yeah.
like,
It's so overwhelming.
yeah, decision fatigue. It all comes back to that.
Decision fatigue is the
Bro,
lesson of
I'm
the day.
done. But I think the biggest takeaway from my biggest takeaway from this was that anything that we produce, whether you're an artist or a regular person, whoever you choose to be in life, like anything you produce, you're responsible for the effects that it has on other people. So
Yeah.
try to make it a good thing, you know?
Make positive, yeah.
So produce positive things, I
Yeah.
think.
Also, with that comes like you're allowed to feel these certain things and write these sad songs, but like keep in mind that like people get triggered by it. That triggered is not the right word because that's making it seem like canceling and whatever. Like, I
Yeah,
don't want to
yeah,
get into
yeah.
that, but like
Yeah.
more that like people are affected by it.
Yeah.
And like keep that to yourself. And I think that's also nice, like to have certain things to yourself.
Yeah.
Have that expression, form of expression to yourself.
But then at the same time, like imagine if there was no sad music.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's like,
Would people be happier? That's the question.
yeah.
I'm gonna like pull up a random statistic from my ass that's totally not gonna be accurate, but like kids are more, this is accurate. I'm not gonna say any numbers, but like kids are more depressed today. You know? Why are children more depressed today?
Yeah. And on
So many facts. And on
that
that note, everyone.
No, it's true.
It's like, were people happier back then if there was no, let's say, sad music
Yeah.
or phones or decisions or, you know, like
Yeah.
options?
Yeah.
So interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Also, one more thing. This podcast is never gonna end.
Yeah, I
One more thing. Do you think that kids today, okay, we already know how like fashion,
Yeah.
kids are already more developed than they need to be. You think
Yeah.
your little sister 10 times older than she needs to be because
Yeah.
like even I thought so. I thought she was like 15 already.
Yeah.
Like the way kids dress, the
Yeah.
way kids like their jargon.
Yeah,
You know,
no,
the way
it's
people
true.
speak, the way people eat now, like things are very different and kids are definitely exposed to older things where they shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah.
Like they are kids aren't Are they still their mental age? I'm not sure, but like kids
Yeah.
aren't their mental or physical age anymore,
Yeah.
you know? And do you think music and being exposed to this music has had a big part of this?
Yes, I think so. I think that especially with everything being so readily available at people's fingertips, like I know my younger sister, like every like she's like really grown up in a place where like she's always had basically like an iPad on hand, and like because also we're older than her, like she's always had some form of technology, and so she's had music to listen to, and like her music taste is very different than what mine is. And I think that's one, because we're different people obviously, but two, like a lot of the music that I like is based off, this is also like oldest child, maybe youngest, like whatever, that's a different thing, but a lot of the music is like music that I remember from my childhood, because like that's what I listen to my parents playing. And like I think my music taste is like a very big mix of like my dad and my mom's music tastes, versus like my sister, who she doesn't like care about it at all, and she's kind of like, she's like says she's a Swiftie.
Oh, I saw that. When you posted, you're like, name Swiftie who doesn't know one to one of her songs.
No, so she's like, no, Kate is actually like a Swiftie. She wants to go to her concert. Emma's fake Swiftie, but Kate says she's a real Swiftie. But like it's just very different, because like she's listening to all this music that's like as a kid, like I don't know, like for me, I want my kids to like listen to the music that I listen to, because it brings back nostalgic memories. I don't know. I think it's just like, once again, like too many options. Like as a kid, like listen to the music your parents listen to. Like,
That's why I loved Michael Jackson.
yeah.
Because, like, my dad, oh my God,
Yeah.
my mom and my dad love him.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with him now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only, I don't know, I feel kind of guilty when I listen to certain songs now.
Really?
Cause, like, especially, like, very vulgar songs.
Yeah.
I have this one playlist, oh my God. Like, this is the one I dance to, like, I get all crazy for it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like, I know that. Because of like the way brain works and like the way brains work in science is that like music like releases dopamine, and
Yeah.
dopamine has to do with, and I wrote this down in the
Yeah.
notes, like dopamine has to do with your
Reward
reward
system.
system, right? So you feel good about listening to music even if it's not good for
Yeah.
you know? And like that's the thing, now that I'm aware of these things, like I don't feel like I can just make choices the same.
Yeah.
That's the thing about awareness for everything. Like when you're aware of like what you're eating and how you're eating, like if you have this awareness, you're not going to feel the same about making choices. Like you're
Yeah.
not going to feel the same about going to Burger King if you know what they put in their food, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Like you feel a little more guilty or not as good about it.
Yeah. I think it's just like being more aware of what you consume, like you
Yeah.
said before, which is so important.
Yeah, I know that like you aren't like as sad as or creepy as it is to say, you're not completely in control of yourself today.
Yeah.
You really aren't. There are so many things that control us and I think shape us into who we are, and sometimes it's not truly who we need to be,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And on that note,
And on
all
that
right. Oh, this is so sad that this is our last episode together for this year.
No, shut
Not
up.
forever.
We're gonna send each other
Yeah.
voice
No, we
notes.
do that anyway. Actually, like while I was in Israel, and I know that this will continue when Leah's in Israel, I would send her audios that were like
30 minutes.
they were 30 minutes, like the limit would hit, and then I would have to send like another one to like finish the story. But like, is that not crazy?
No, but I did that too. The thing was, it's
Yeah.
like
It
it
was
was
back and forth.
therapy.
No, it was back and forth.
Also, so weird because we weren't that close in high school.
No, we
Like,
weren't.
we had a little bit of this relationship. It was just like the spark from the beginning.
Yeah.
Obviously, like it didn't
Yeah.
happen.
You know whatever.
But
Yeah.
like afterwards, like I'm so happy and blessed that I have you in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I just think we talked about this before, but like girlfriends are so important.
Yeah.
Female friendships
Female
are
friendships are so
everything.
important.
Like, I think my life would definitely be a lot less happy without you in it. So I'm so happy that I
I'm
have
gonna
you.
cry. No, I
Don't.
feel I was
No.
thinking throughout this
And I hate that
episode.
we keep missing each other.
I know. But I think that it's like it's nice because we get to see how it like develops in that way. I don't know. Maybe that's just like me trying to be positive.
No, but like, you know what it is? I know that you're gonna be like one of my forever friends because I can keep you from
Yeah,
anywhere in the
that's
world, we can stay
true. See,
friends.
that's the thing, is like we were tested in a very different way in high school, like with our friendship,
Yeah.
very different way.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about that. We don't talk about that.
We don't.
We don't talk about it. But like it's just a different type of test. Like it feels more, it's like a more real type of test, because that was like a stupid test that we like kind of failed, but it's fine.
No, we didn't fail
We
because
didn't
we're
fail because
human.
of red map, but yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh my God. No, but the thing that I also like, I always like say to this, I'm like, I don't know if this always makes me, oh my God, my camera
Oh my god,
bell.
it's
It's on the table. Okay,
like,
whatever. This always makes me question like my friendships, where it's like, think about it. You are friends with so many people because like you know who they're talking about, right?
yeah.
The thing is, I have no idea who you're ever talking about, but then you like we explain things to each other. Like I
Yeah.
feel like you know my friendships with other people that you have no idea who they
Yeah,
are, and I know
it's
who
so
your friendships are.
interesting.
It's like I think I love that about us, and I feel like
Yeah.
you're one of the very few people that I can have that with.
Yeah.
Besides from my sisters, which is why I feel like you're one of my sisters. That's why like we're so close.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very like it's different than a childhood, even though like we've gone to the same schools and like we live in the same community.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different than a childhood friend.
Yeah.
Because it's like I think with childhood friends, like you have this endless love with for them and it's more like blinding. Like you kind of like me and you, we relate in a way that like if I found you at any stage of life, like we would be friends, you know? It's not like no, like with some of my childhood friends, I know that I'm friends with them and like I love them to death, but like I know that if I met them now, like I wouldn't have the same relationship with them. But I feel like with you, it's what if I found you at any stage of life, you would be a part of my life in that way, you know? That's what's nice about like getting to know someone a bit later. Yeah. I'm like making it sound like we're like 80 and like we're finding each other later in life. Like
we're 18.
We're actually 18 and 19. Gotta relax. But like that's what it feels like. When like I just feel like because we're just like not part of this generation. We're just like older than we think we are.
No, we literally like everyone listening, they're like, these two idiots. Like
okay, Rafi, if you're listening to this, say, Okay, bye.
Bye.